We are in the happiness business. So it's, you know, a lot easier to make people feel beautiful, and then taking their money for that, it feels more rewarding because we're giving them something that they really wanted and really needed. So for me, I guess I learned that sales isn't actually that hard. It's just, I have to believe in what I'm selling.
Hey there. Welcome to Lessons in Creativity, where we'll explore the creative process across different disciplines and learn how to harness this natural part of our human experience. I'm Jenna Massey, your fellow student and host. In this episode, I spoke with Bridget and Carrie Lawless, two sisters who currently run Charlie Bridget Hair in Morristown, New Jersey. After Bridget graduated from college, she decided to pursue a path of beauty school with a dream of one day opening her own salon. In this episode, you'll hear Bridget's story of pursuing beauty school, working at some of the best salons in New York City, and then ultimately teaming up with her sisters to open up her own salon. I personally have been a client of Bridget's for about 15 years and can't recommend the salon enough if you're in New Jersey. Hope you enjoy the episode. All right. Welcome, Bridget and Carrie. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having us, Jenna.
So excited for this conversation.
I know. We're so excited too. We can't wait to be part of this.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
All right. Well, to start, since this is a podcast all about creativity, I'd love to hear in both of your childhood as sisters, in what ways creativity and entrepreneurship came out, because I know that was a big part of your family.
Yeah, of course. So Carrie and I are two sisters from a family of five kids. And growing up, our parents were entrepreneurs themselves. Our mom has opened multiple businesses throughout our whole lives. And that's always been something that they've instilled in us as the best path, you know, the path to some sort of freedom. Although it's not a path free of hard work, you do have that flexibility and the freedom to create your future to an extent.
Yeah, I love that.
At a young age, my parents always told me I was creative, which I always thought it was them just saying that because I was kind of like a bad kid. I was kind of like a troublemaker. And so they're like, oh, you're just so creative. But anyway, I got interested in like doing film and just like making little movies with my friends as like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, just doing like little skits. This is before social media and stuff like that. So
the original TikTok.
The original, yeah, just on my camcorder at home. So I kind of always knew I wanted to go into some sort of film or television route. So I studied film and television in college. I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do with that. So when I came graduating from my undergrad, I wasn't sure where, like what kind of job I wanted to go into. So I decided to do a 1-year master's in business just so I can kind of like round out my education, have a little business in case I wanted to do something else. And it was in my grad school year that I got really interested in entrepreneurship. I kind of thought I would go into real estate actually, because I like interacting with people. And I thought it would be cool to add like a video element to that as well. Cause again, this was like pre-Instagram. Instagram was just starting. So I thought it would be cool to like do tours, which now a lot of real estate agents do, but I thought it would be cool to record the inside of a house and do virtual open houses. So then after graduating from grad school, I went to real estate school with Weikert, and I studied and became a real estate agent, but I then decided to move to Chicago and just switch my life up entirely. So I went into sales and I just did that kind of just low level jobs for a few years until I moved back home. And that's when I met with Bridget and Sarah during the build out of Charlie Bridget Hair. During my time before that, I was reading a lot of books about entrepreneurship, also just like mindset, kind of like law of attraction stuff, because I really wanted to figure out what I wanted out of life and how I would get there. And every book I read kept coming back to the idea of, okay, I want to build my own business, my own future. I want to be in control of those things. I don't really want to be an employee anymore. I want to figure out how to be an employer in some way, whether I'm for myself, like I'm in business by myself, or I run other things. I just knew that I wanted to be that person. So that's how I came in. I didn't think I was going to end up doing that. I really thought like I went to business school and decided to get into sales after graduating that I kind of was done with doing anything
creative,
really. Like I thought maybe I would write creative emails to get people to read my emails, but I didn't think I would be getting back into video or anything. So I was really happy when like the thing about hair is that it is so creative, but then also try to capture it and share it with other people so that they can see it too is something that I never expected I would be doing and having a really fun time doing and really enjoying. And it does take a skill. It's not like anyone can take pictures of hair or videos of hair. It doesn't always translate. So it's been a fun challenge that I've learned. So
that's awesome. Yeah. No, I love that you guys, what both of you said of your parents instilling entrepreneurship and like this desire, and it made you look for what can I potentially own? Like what business could we potentially build? But Bridget, I'm curious for you. So you talked about like the influence as a child, if you think about yourself, like 7, 8, 9, like how did creativity come out or early entrepreneurial instincts?
Well, I would actually say opposite from Carrie. I do not think of myself as a creative person. I mean, like I doodled in the margins of my high school notebooks. But other than that, I do not think of myself as creative when it came to like creative writing, your like little skits you would make up. That just didn't come to me naturally. But our dad is an artist, as you know. So there is a little creative influence in our family. When I went to college, had no idea what I wanted to do. And then I don't know exactly how it came about, but hair was just something I did for myself, for my friends, occasionally. And then my mom was the one who gave me the idea that I should pursue it as a career. And so when I kind of took that leap of faith to go to beauty school, I feel like it opened up a different side of me that I didn't know existed. So it was not something that I've always had a strong passion for, which I'm kind of jealous of people who have always had like that fire in them for something in particular. So I went to school, I got my first job at Warren Tracomi, as you know. So that kind of taught me a little bit more about it. But I always looked at hair more as kind of in the analytical side of it. You know, certain measurements will create a certain type of cut and certain placements will create a certain type of effect. I'm not looking at it necessarily from the most creative side. I'm looking at it as more of a formula to an extent. So I think that there are two ways to look at it, which is kind of fun because there are girls who are definitely just looking at it as a blank canvas art piece. And I think of it in a different manner.
That's so interesting. Wow. Okay. We're going to dive more into that in a second. But I think it's so interesting because you guys are from a family of five, like you said, four sisters, right? So like constantly probably doing each other's hair and that kind of thing. And then what you talked about too with your mom nudging you. I remember you told me this, like that she kind of had this idea that hair is a recession-proof business. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So she read a New York Times article the summer before I graduated college that said hair and I think sports are two recession-proof industries. People always spend their extra cash on that. And that was when I, you know, going into senior year, no idea what I wanted to do. I was a sociology major. That's like the epitome of I don't know what I want to do. But in that major, also all of my teachers emphasized you can do anything with this. And so that's when my mom started pointing out like, hey, this is something you have a knack for. Maybe you should pursue it. Hey, this is a great industry to go into. There are so many entrepreneurial aspects of it. You could be a bridal stylist. You could be a celebrity stylist. You could own a salon. You could just do blowouts. You could do whatever. She kind of just planted that seed. And the more I interviewed for kind of normal corporate jobs my senior year, the less I was interested in all of that. So I started to pursue the route as like more of a legitimate option than just like, oh, I guess I could go do hair. Like, that sounds fun. So I really love and I'm so grateful to the fact that she did not put it down as a weird option or an alternate future, especially after investing in college. You know, you want to feel like you're backtracking to something that you didn't need that for. But so she really encouraged that these two together could create the best future possibly for us. And she was right. I mean, she's always right.
And
just takes her perspective.
Well, I was going to say, studying sociology, it's all about people and how people interact, how people mm-hmm. work. So if you're going to become a business owner in any aspect, obviously knowing how people operate and understanding them can only make you successful. And yeah. I feel like that's actually where you are creative, is you're extremely good at connecting with people and giving an amazing client experience, more so than I think others maybe.
Thank you. You're
just really good at it and you're good at teaching it too. So that's where you're creative, I think.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's so cool that like your mom had that kind of vision and idea for you.
Oh, I was going to say, she's always joked that, you know, she has five kids. She wants one kid in each different industry. So she never has to pay for anything ever again. If she could, she'd have one lawyer, one doctor, one this, one that, and one hairstylist. She was like, I spend a lot of money on my hair. I think it would be It's clearly an industry people value.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And she's getting her wish in that one, at least.
So after you graduated from college, that's when you made the decision, okay, I'm going to go to beauty school. And I want to hear a little bit about that, because like to your point, you'd gone to college, probably everyone around you is going for a corporate job. That must have been challenging to be doing something so different and kind of letting go of like, oh, maybe this path that seemed like what everyone else was doing. So I'm curious just to hear a little bit about like what that decision was like for you.
Yeah, it was a hard decision. It was kind of, I don't want to say embarrassing, but I didn't exactly tell everyone that I was going to go back to school to do hair. In my mind, it felt like a step backwards, but I did tell a couple of people, and everyone I talked to about it, you know, was very encouraging. I actually remember telling my guidance counselor, my like specific sociology department guidance counselor, because she was encouraging me to possibly go into like a grad school program, a master's of sociology, because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And when I had finally made the decision and told her, she said, I think that is the greatest decision you can make. That's so interesting. She said, you know, there are so many ways, like Carrie just mentioned, to use your degree. You don't have to use it in just a academic standpoint. And she said, she reminded me that some of Notre Dame's greatest sociology graduates went on to different unique things like Regis Philbin. She's like, you can use it in so many different ways. And this is a great industry for connecting and using all the skills you've learned. And so I remember thinking, okay, she's in a very traditional academic route. And if she sees the value in it, why shouldn't I? I should be kind of supporting myself a little bit more. So it was a bit of a intimidating decision when I enrolled in a beauty school that is local to, you know, home, and had some really great reviews. I went and I met the director of academics there and everything. And I got a really good feeling from them. So I was excited to start. And luckily in my class, there were a lot of people who had come from different backgrounds, we'll say. So some were older, some were right out of high school, some had done some college. I think I was the only one who had completed college, you know, the year prior. So it was nice because it wasn't like everyone was just straight out of high school and I felt like some weird old person. And actually, some of my closest friends from beauty school were 17-year-olds. And then the other one was a 34-year-old. And then there was a 21-year-old who did 2 years and felt like it wasn't right for her. So you just never know who you're going to connect with, which is really nice.
It's so interesting that you like felt a little bit like shy or reluctant on sharing it. It makes a lot of sense. And I think thinking about anything that's creative, like there's this tendency at first to maybe like keep it a little bit hidden before you're willing to share it with everyone. And you were really like pursuing and taking a creative approach to your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you wound up working at Warren Trecomey, which is, well, I'll let you describe a little bit about them. And I'm just curious, like if you could talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah. So Warren Trecomey Salon in New York is a salon that my mom got introduced to through a client of hers. They would have meetings while they were getting blowouts. And my mom said, you know, she's been to a ton of salons over the years, but she said that that was one of the best experiences she's ever had. She just felt like very high end and everyone there felt very professional.
It's located in the plaza.
Yes, they have. At the time, they had 3 locations in the city, but their main headquarters was in the Plaza Hotel. They've since moved somewhere on the Upper East Side, I believe. And when I graduated school, I was looking for places to work. I looked a lot of local places and interviewed, and they all have non-competes. At the time, non-competes were very common for salons. So I had a little hesitation of working at a salon in my town and having a non-compete, because I did have in the back of my mind, like one day I might open something. I'm not sure exactly what it'll be, but something of my own. And that's when my mom brought me into the city to, well, she got a blowout, meet her hairdresser in there just to talk to him and just get his side of it, see what his career was like so far. He had been in the industry for about 30 years at that point. And in that moment during my mom's blowout, he said, you've got to meet the owner. He's going to love you. You should work here. And so in that moment, I met one of the two owners. He interviewed me during that appointment and hired me on the spot, which was a little crazy because I was not exactly going there looking for a job in the city. I still lived in New Jersey. So, but how do you say no to that? It's an amazing opportunity. I got my license and everything. I sent all the paperwork. I started about 3 weeks after I graduated beauty school. And it was a big jump. I went from, you know, being 15 minutes away going to beauty school. And I was now commuting like 3 hours a day, going in and out of the city, taking the subway and everything. But honestly, it was the world's greatest place to learn because they have so much going on and so many different people to learn from. I was trained on just the styling side. The business was departmentalized. And so I worked just with the styling side. So haircuts, blowouts, updos, anything essentially on the dry styling, no coloring, no chemical services. And it was amazing. I trained under some of the greatest hairdressers I've ever met. They are all incredibly successful. And they taught me things that I don't know I would have learned in a smaller setting in New Jersey. Not to say that you can't learn that in a small setting, but these people had such diverse trainings from all different parts of the world, let alone the country. And there's just something about New York. You know, New York is just it when it comes to certain industries. And it kind of also taught me what I do and don't like about a certain work environment, especially in such a hectic world like the hair world, because people are coming and going and it can be kind of crazy and there can be some miscommunications. And so it also gave us a good basis of what we didn't exactly want our salon to be like. So I was there for about 6.5 years.
It's so interesting too, like thinking about the creative process. And I feel like this element of like practice and just constant repetition is so important. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really what a lot of that time was for you, is really just getting your reps in and learning. And then to your point, like great artists steal, right? And so seeing one, the different approaches and to hair, but also to business, mm-hmm. and you kind of like developing your own style for each. So super interesting. And I know that during that time you had a lot of hair models. And Carrie, I'm sure you were there a bunch. So I'm wondering just if you could share a little bit about like your experience going in.
I actually was never a hair model.
What?
During this time, I was out at college and then I moved to Chicago and I was just a Midwest girl for, you know, 8 years.
Grace was my hair model a couple times. Grace and Jenna, you were one of my favorite hair models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I'll share my experience. But no, I loved being a hair model. And I think especially interacting with Edward, it really just, I think I was really, my mind was open just to how elite and just incredible he is, right? And I was always running late from work. So I wound up staying later when he was giving you guys like the talks and just like sharing how you guys need to be reading Vogue every night. Like you need to be super passionate about this. And, you know, he just really had got so much joy and fulfillment out of it. And it was very, really critical on you guys, which was really entertaining.
He approached hair in a way I had never, at that time in my life, experienced it. I mean, he was the one who really taught me it's an art. Like, it is not a boring old transaction. This, you are creating something for someone and you have the vision, but you need to learn how to tap into that side of it and think about hair in a different way. And it was incredibly intimidating and intense, but it was a great training. And I mean, I'm very grateful to that time of my life. I definitely loved when you were my model and he gave that whole speech, because you looked at it as if it was inspiring. And I just looked at it as if we were getting yelled at. Maybe I'm coming at it from a too personal perspective. I need to take my personal feelings out of it and be like, yeah, he is right.
Yeah, no, it was a very it was an intense talk. But and the other thing, okay, I have to ask you this, because he had the mindset of like, the client doesn't know like what they want necessarily. And like, if someone asks, he'd be like, no, you can never give this person something that's not going to look good on them. Now that you run your own business, what is your approach to that? Because I know I've definitely walked out of the salon with Edward with a couple of things I didn't ask for.
I would approach it very differently. I think he came at it from a little bit of a to my way or the highway approach. So we kind of, to eliminate that, we do consultations before. And I also think that there's a certain amount, this is where I disagree with him, what makes you feel confident is going to look the best. So just because a face frame would look great on someone, if they don't want it and their lifestyle doesn't really work for it, maybe they don't need a face frame. I think that was what he gave you a pretty dramatic face frame when you didn't want them.
Luckily, I'm a low maintenance client and hair grows back. So
there was one time it was not my client, thank God. But another friend of mine brought in an older woman who kept her hair long. And he said, nope. And he walked up and he just cut her hair right at the base of her neck in the back.
Wow.
And he said, well, now you can't wear it long. And that poor assistant who had to finish the haircut, I mean, that is so awkward. So we try to minimize that. We want to make everyone feel their best, not make them feel bad about themselves because their hair makes them look old.
Wow. Yeah. Love that. So from there brings us to opening up Charlie Bridget Hair. So I'd love to hear that story of how that really happened.
It was in 2018 that I started to feel, I had been on the floor for about a little over a year, taking my own clients, building a clientele, and it was going really well. I had pretty full clientele that I really enjoyed spending my time with. But I got to a point where I felt like if I didn't make a change soon, I was going to get too comfortable and never want to leave. And I had made friends with a lot of other hairstylists at the salon, and many of them were kind of in the same boat as me, but a decade ahead of me. So they lived in the suburbs, never wanted to move into the city, but felt like their entire life and clientele was in the city. And so they felt they couldn't leave. So I decided around that point in 2018 to take a leap. And I thought, I'm going to go to the suburbs now, start my life out there so I can move to the next stage of every part of my life. I had just gotten engaged or was about to get engaged, and I knew I didn't want to be commuting for the rest of my life. So that timing worked out really well, where Sarah was also in a bit of a stage of transition. So she had just moved home and we were talking, and I convinced her to be my business partner because I was too afraid to open a salon totally by myself. I just had no idea what that was going to look like. And so it kind of worked out perfectly that she was looking for something new and we were both ready to kind of put all of our time and effort into something that we could start from scratch. So we started work on it. It took a really long time to find a space that worked for us with just all of our wants, needs. And we were a little particular about what we were looking for in a space. We didn't want it to be too big because we didn't want to have a massive space that we couldn't fill. We didn't want it to be too small. And we were just kind of looking for the right thing. It took about 8 months to find a space. And then from there, we had to do all the contract negotiations and then the build out and everything. During that time, after we found our space, that's when Carrie came home and she was watching what we were working on and giving her 2 cents here and there. And then at a certain point, she realized we needed some help because we were doing all right. But there were things that were definitely like we were dropping the ball on. And so as like an outsider perspective, also coming in a time of transition, We welcomed her with open arms and we were like, yes, we do need help. She came in with really great marketing perspective. That was something Sarah and I had no history on. Sarah came from like a financial corporate background. And I obviously came from the creative background and knew about the hair world. But we did not know exactly like who our market was, what we were trying to market, how to build a team, how to build a clientele. I knew it very bare bones.
You knew how to do it once clients started showing
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
You didn't know how to get clients to start showing up.
So Carrie, what was like from your perspective around that time, like what were some of the things that you noticed and started to like contribute?
Well, again, since I was in film and television, I've always been a firm believer in story and that stories are what get people interested in things and people and all that stuff. So I knew that we had to start marketing people and you know, telling our story to get people to even be interested in checking out a brand new salon. So I wanted to help, you know, create our story. It's not even like creating it, but like tell our story. So they weren't really doing any marketing yet. I think Sarah and Bridget were kind of waiting to
be finished.
Yeah, they were in the weeds and they wanted to be finished before start posting anything or whatever. So I kind of just jumped in a little bit here and there and posted a little bit about like, oh, it's coming and we're building all of that, like who we are. We're sisters from local sisters. We're opening up this salon together. So I kind of just helped with that. And honestly, I think we were still a little confused altogether because once I got involved, I also got pulled into the weeds. So we were still kind of confused and just looking for anyone to join our team. We knew we wanted to work with good people. So we did get a stylist pretty early on, which was really lucky for us. She was awesome. She was amazing to work with right off the bat.
We think back that she was brave to sign up with us because she was signing up for something that was bare bones at that point.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing. We were all brand new business owners. So she did take a leap of faith with us, and she was willing to do whatever we needed. And she hung around and helped us, came up with ideas for us, helped us build content. I mean, there were many, many days when we first opened where we didn't have a single client, but we sure made it look like we had someone. We tried. I mean, that way it didn't look like it was just dead, but we had to gain interest. So we kind of all worked together on that. But COVID was like, honestly, the best thing that ever happened to our business.
Yeah, because that's what I wanted to talk about. Because you guys, you opened, was it January 2020?
It was December of 2019.
December. Okay.
So we were open for 3 months and then we were closed for 3 months.
And hair salons are one of the most impacted industries, right? So that must have been really scary right after opening.
You know, it was not quite that.
For us, so it was a relief.
We look at it as, yeah, we had been like open for 3 months, floundering, didn't really know what to do, had maybe a couple clients here and there. When the shutdown came, we were like, oh, this is going to be bad. So we shut down for 2 weeks and then it ended up being 3 months. But we took those 3 months as an opportunity to like look at what the first 3 months were like and how we can change it. How can we pivot? How can we put a brand on it? You know, like, so we started branding ourselves. We took a lot of time to educate ourselves more on who we are, what we wanted, who we wanted in our chair, who we wanted to work with. And it was honestly probably the best thing for our business because we were just, you know, I don't want to say floundering, but like we were just lost. And it helped us kind of figure out who we are.
Yeah, I was going to say from a personal perspective, like our family was going through an immense hardship from the months of, you know, end of December till March because our dad was going through a heart transplant. So like, yes, we were floundering because we were new business owners, but we were also floundering personally because we were just stressed out basket cases, like wondering if our dad was going to die or not. He didn't. Spoiler alert, everything's great. But it was very, you know, so then when things shut down, honestly, the week after he was released from the hospital, it kind of just gave us some time to breathe and just reset. And we really did take that time to like, yeah, like Bridget said, educate ourselves, really reframe like what we wanted out of the business. Because we obviously had this experience where we were like, okay, life's short. We don't want to feel stressed out in our business. So what can we do to create a business that we want? What is the business that we want? You know, so it gave us a lot of time to think, a lot of time to relax and just kind of come down from this crazy roller coaster we were on. And then on the other side, because all salons were closed for 3 months, there was a huge buildup of demand. So a lot of people couldn't get in to see their usual stylists. So then they were willing to, and we had been posting all throughout COVID and stuff to our Instagram and everything, and, you know, sending out emails and stuff to our little list of clients that we did have at the time. And when things reopened, we just had a big boom. We had so many people willing to take a risk on us and come in and see us. And since we had worked so hard those 3 months to create, like, what's the experience we want to have? How do we want to interact with our clients? What kind of clients do we want to work with? That's when we introduced the pre-appointment consultations because we had to, kind of. With COVID, we wanted to mitigate the amount of time people spent in the salon. So honestly, it helped us just like get to know our clients before they even came in. So then we kind of were able to tailor each experience to what they were looking for and get to know them and see if we vibed. Because if we didn't vibe, then they might self-select to go see someone else. And we kind of didn't have to go through the awkward in-person experience because we kind of dealt with it ahead of time because of COVID, because it forced us to do everything virtually for a while.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like in creative process or in business, like constraints or like hardship causes new discoveries. So it's so interesting how that and what a blessing that you guys had, like to some extent had those couple months where you had some data of like, okay, this is what kind of worked, but not really. How can we then, you know, now we have this time to where we can pivot and change and focus on like the experience and what's going to work.
It was great.
We have some longstanding clients who have been with us since those, like, you know, that first week in June that we reopened, who have seen us grow so much. Mm-hmm. And they like have loved all the growth and have stuck with us through it all, which is amazing. I mean, we found amazingly loyal people in that time of unknown.
Yeah.
And we've grown since then, like as hairdressers, as individuals, as a business. And so it's been really nice to see that they were willing to kind of take a risk on what we thought was new and had potential, but it didn't have a ton of social proof. So
yeah,
and people are obviously with hair, it's very personal. So you want to make sure you trust the person. And we've built that trust, which is really nice.
Yeah, I think we've just built a nice community because we come at it with like, again, it's not a transactional thing for us. It's not just about come give us money to do your hair services. Like we really care and take the time to get to know the people and what they're like. And like Bridget learned from Edward, like if something's not going to work with their lifestyle, we're more than willing to say like, this might not be the right move for you. And I think that helps get our clients to really trust us because they know it's coming from a loving place. Like it's not like we actually probably tend to talk people out of doing more expensive services than like getting them to just do these things, even if it's not the right move for them, because we want the money associated with it. Like, it's not about that for us. Like, we want people to have the healthiest, nicest hair that works for their lifestyle. And if that means we have to kind of limit their expectations, like, we're happy to do that. And if the client doesn't want to hear that, again, like, they can self-select out, but we're not willing to, like, sacrifice our...
Before. Sell you a bill of goods just for the money. Kind of
yeah,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not about the money first. It's about getting to know the client. Yeah, client first.
Well, we have a unique perspective in the hair industry in particular because Carrie comes at it from a client. And so does Sarah, and like Grace and my mom. They are all clients. And then I come at it from the hair side, as does the rest of our staff. And it's so easy to only see it from your perspective. You know, some hairdressers think that they know better because they are the artist. And while that may be true, there's also the person who is the canvas who's wearing it every day. And their side matters as well. So we try to cater our experience that is appealing to both people.
That's such a really good insight and like so valuable to have Carrie, Sarah, and as part of the like ownership team for that.
Yeah, I had a pretty bad experience in Chicago with a stylist and like he did my hair exactly the way I wanted. Like I showed him an inspiration picture and he nailed the inspiration picture. However, my hair was damaged beyond belief and it took me like 3 years to get it back to being healthy. And so I wish he would have just told me this color is a little too light for your hair and it's going to do damage. Maybe we should either do it in sessions or not at all. I don't think it's going to be a good fit for your hair. And then that would have saved me 3 years of hating my hair because it was fried off. And, you know, I would have just been like, oh, okay, that kind of stinks, but at least I'll have my hair, you know, like, so I really, again, coming from a client perspective, like I think honesty is the best policy. And if you can't achieve something for someone, they don't know. Like I didn't know. I thought I could achieve that look. I thought that was possible. It wasn't. So I wish he would have told me. I wish someone, you know.
You just didn't know how the process worked.
I just didn't know how the process worked. And most people don't because they're not stylists. Be the one to explain it, but in a kind way.
Right. Well, I think you're right. Like the honesty and the trust, because it is a long-term relationship, right? It's people have their hairdresser, their stylist for the rest of their life. You know, how often do you switch? It's a very sticky business. And I think what's really cool about you guys is I think you are so intentional about like the holistic customer experience from like the social media, the walking in the salon, like the environment, the music, the drinks that are offered, the snacks, the menu. Like, it's like you really feel like you're being catered to and treated, you know, to this really special experience. And it makes you feel confident. You know, you're leaving with a hairstyle that, like, you know, you can pull off. And, like, you guys are going to tell us if it's not going to be something that's sustainable for us.
Good. I'm glad. That's what we go for.
Yeah. Okay. So what is it like to work with your sisters?
It's fun. I mean, it's more fun than not.
Yeah.
There are definitely pros and cons to working with family. You know everything about them. You know everything that's going on in their personal life. You know what they're good at, what they're not good at, what their strengths, weaknesses are. So there's definitely pros in that we can kind of craft our business to feeding into each other's strengths. But then there, you know, you don't fight with anyone like you fight with your family sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we obviously will have, you know, discussions and then be like, oh, okay, I'll see you at mom and dad's this weekend. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like we can't really,
you can't really harbor resentment.
Yeah, you don't fester on, you know, little spats for as long as you probably could with a typical business partner, or no argument is ever gonna, like our family, our family's always gonna come first.
Yeah.
We're like the Kardashians, family first. So we, you know, we will get over things, even if sometimes it feels like we might not, like we always will. And that's good, because I feel like sometimes with just a standard business partner, that's what causes businesses to not last beyond 1, 3, 5 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like, it can be add, you know, complications, but I mean, luckily you guys are from such a wonderful family.
And there's no one you trust like family.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And what about, you were talking, so you talked a little bit about how you guys like balance each other out with like maybe Carrie bringing more of the marketing and some of the creativity. Also the client side, Bridget bringing more of the, obviously the stylist side. Any other like ways that you guys complement each other?
Honestly, Bridget and I are probably the most similar when it comes to our siblings,
which creates a nice like unity in the salon, because we work very similarly. We speak very similarly.
We keep the same kind of energy at work, which is good because it's very consistent.
We definitely lean on our siblings as like consultants for the business when we are feel like we're both too stuck in our mindset that is already kind of on the similar wavelength. So we'll call in other people and be like, okay, we need your perspective on this situation. So that that's nice. But even on things like I'll take over some of the more financial things or management sides, or Carrie will, you know, play like good cop, bad cop kind of thing. So we definitely try to find a balance, but
Bridget's good on the phone.
Carrie doesn't like talking on the phone.
I don't like talking on the phone. In person, I'm great. On the phone, I just don't really, I'm really bad at reading people's, I don't know. I feel like on the phone, I can't explain things well, or like I feel too on the spot, but Bridget's really good at it. You're like, you're really good on the phone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes better than I think you are in person.
Oh, thank you.
Just kidding.
I'm really good with difficult clients.
Yeah.
Carrie's also pretty good with difficult clients, but I'm good with like the in your face difficult
in the
clients,
moment. Yeah.
And Carrie's good with the shyer ones.
Yeah. I'm really good with, I'm great at writing emails. I'm great at any online communication, but like it's the in-person stuff.
Also, Carrie can code.
Oh yeah. I forgot. Yeah. It's a little tidbit about me. I've had multiple times where I've been unemployed for a summer in between jobs, and I just like wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So one of those summers I did a coding class and learned JavaScript, and
wow.
So I built our website, and
oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I used Squarespace and built some components on it. So that's a little fun fact about me. It's very minimal experience, but
you didn't have to hire someone out to do it.
Exactly.
So that's amazing. Yeah, that's really cool.
I'm good with the tech stuff.
I love it. That's awesome. And then, okay, wait, I forgot to ask this when we were talking about Edward Chacomi, but where did the name Charlie Bridget come from?
Oh, great question. So when I was at Warren Chacomi, Instagram, especially for the business, like your business side, was just starting to become a thing. And so they encouraged us to open a Instagram account that was just for hair and use that as like a traveling portfolio. So I started an Instagram. I think it had some really cheesy name. I can't even remember it. I think I was trying to call it like
Charlie.
No, there was another one. It was like Styles with a Z by Charlie. Hmm. And I just thought it was a little too tacky. So I changed it to just Charlie Bridget. Charlie was my stage name when I worked at Warren Chacomi, because there was another girl with a name too similar. And it's standard in salons that two people can't have the same name or super similar names, or else appointments get confused. And it's just a little bit of a challenge that they try to avoid. So often salons will encourage you to take a stage name. So I ended up going with Charlie as my stage name. So I made the Instagram account Charlie Bridget, so that if someone was looking for me, both names would pop up. And then when we were looking to start the salon and trying to brand it and come up with the name.
Man, we came up with so many names.
I really didn't want it to be something salon. I don't know why. That felt old fashioned to me. So I wanted something different. And the more we workshopped names and tested it out with family and friends, what do you like? What catches your eye the most? For some reason, everyone kept coming back to Charlie Bridget.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it sounds, obviously, it's two humans. So it sounds like something that you can be personally attached to versus like just a random adjective or something. And it was already the Instagram that I was using at the time. So we kind of just decided one day that it felt right. And so we decided to go with Charlie Bridget Hair. We do all types of hair. It's not just salon. And we didn't want to feel like trapped into the idea of like hair and estheticians and nails and all the things that salons tend to have. So we were just starting off with hair and wanted to just kind of specialize in that one thing. And yeah, I don't know. Everyone seems to really love it. And I kind of like that Charlie can now be, I no longer go by Charlie, but I kind of like that Charlie can be like a stage character or something for the salon.
A lot of people ask who Charlie is or who Bridget is. And I'm like, it's the same person.
She's a phantom of my imagination.
Well, it's great too. You brought up such a good point with like the Instagram piece and how big that's become with hair and with like style, beauty. And I feel like you guys did such a good job when opening to really capitalize on that. And like, which was really different from a lot of traditional salons that are out there.
Yeah, it's amazing how Instagram has just become essentially each person and each salon's individual portfolio. It's just part of the social proof that builds trust, you know?
You kind of can't not have one now. Like it's required or else you're going to flounder.
Or you just look like you don't know what you're doing yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, okay. So two more questions. And so I'm curious for each of you, like what you've learned about yourself throughout the experience of starting this business and running it.
I feel like I've learned so much. I did not realize that the hardest part of the job was going to be the management side. I feel like that shocked me a little bit, how managing a staff and building a culture and having a team that you trust and they trust you. I didn't realize how important that was going to be until we were in it and how just like that is really the culture that drives the business. I think any business feels that way, but especially one where they are the ones providing, you know, 50% of the service, I'll say. That was incredibly challenging for us. And I feel like that's helped us learn, grow. And like, you know, you think you know so much or you think something is obvious, but it was taught to us and we have to teach it to them in some respect. So I think that was an interesting thing, like learning how to be a teacher and learning that everyone's coming at their job from a different perspective. And so to kind of like take a step back, look at things through their lens a little bit, walk in their shoes a little bit, gives you a better stance to come from when you're talking to clients, when you're talking to your team, when you're talking to each other, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's good to kind of get rid of the ego and do your best to come at everything with compassion. Yeah. And I think the management side is the part that really nailed that in for me, we'll say.
Yeah, growing people is definitely a hard job, but one that I think you are actually very good at, and you do a great job at it. But we did learn a few times how important it is to have the right people. Like, it's not easy to just hire anyone, like, and we don't want to hire just anyone. It does take work to figure out who is the type of person, not only client-wise, but stylist-wise, who you want in your salon, who you want to be, because they're the face of your salon. So you need people who are all similar, but different at the same time. Like everyone has their own strengths, but we all have similar values and similar goals. And that's really, really important. For me, one thing I've learned about myself, I guess I knew I was a people person, but I think I'm a lot more of a people person than I realized. Like I really do enjoy like talking to different people every single day, which I didn't think I would, because in my sales jobs, when I was also talking to people, a million different people every single day, it wasn't the same because I felt like I was just asking them for money. But at the salon, I get to just connect with them and get to know these people and build this community. And it's so much fun to like get to know all the people in the area. And we are in the happiness business. So it's, you know, a lot easier to make people feel beautiful, and then taking their money for that, it feels more rewarding because we're giving them something that they really wanted and really needed. So for me, I guess I learned that sales isn't actually that hard. It's just, I have to believe in what I'm selling. and I really do. Like, I believe in all of the girls that work for us. Their work is amazing, and they're all just amazing people. Like, anyone would be lucky to get to spend even just an hour with them, getting to know them and getting to talk to them. So yeah, that's been great. I also feel like, for me personally, I realized that I thrive a lot better in structure. I like building routines and operations and stuff. And I think everything kind of is able to grow and flourish when there is a system in place and some sort of order. It can't just be
willy-nilly.
Yeah. So that's, again, like, where we've created a lot of structure in our business. That's a little different than most salons, because I think most salons, it's just like, oh, if you want to book here, you can come in here and get whatever you want done. But for us, we kind of like, we're very intentional about every appointment that comes through and what every single person gets. And again, with like the menus, like we know each person who's coming into the salon each day. We love that. Like, we like knowing who's coming through our place, because it's our place.
Well, and also to kind of go off of your thing about the sales and everything, we have the experience of going, family of four daughters and a mother, going to a million different salons. And one thing that we've all experienced to an extent is how transactional it can feel, even though you've been going somewhere for such a long time. For us as a business, one of our major goals is really focusing on making sure everyone feels seen and feels appreciated, because it's not just a transaction. You know, we want, if you've been in here four times, we recognize you when you walk in the door. We know your first name. We know your kids' names. We remember that you went on vacation last time you were in. You got your hair done for that occasion. So we want people to feel valued, because we do value them. And that's a really important part that we really hammer down with our girls, to make sure that everyone feels seen, heard, and appreciated. It's not just their hair. They're not just getting highlights. You know, they're seeing you for a certain reason. And part of that is, like you said, it's a long-term relationship. So you got to pay attention to these things. You don't hang out with someone for 4 hours and not remember a thing about them.
Right. No, that, I mean, absolutely comes through. As a client, I can attest.
Thank you.
That it really does. And anyone who's in Morristown should definitely check out Charlie Bridget Hair. Well, just to wrap up, just any thoughts that you have, or yeah, advice or thoughts that you would leave for anyone who's thinking about starting a business?
I would always recommend read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's one of the books I read when I was in grad school. It was one of my dad's favorite books. And I think anyone who's interested in building their own business or forging their own path just in general should definitely read that book. It gives you a lot of information on the mindset you need to have and the passion you need to have for going off on your own. So I would definitely recommend that. And starting when you feel like you're ready, or not when you feel like you're ready, but starting when you know you want to do something, because you'll never actually be ready. So just getting going and seeing where it'll take you. You know, if you wait till the perfect time, there's never going to be the perfect time. So if you want to do something, just go for it.
Yeah, I agree with Carrie. There's never going to be the perfect time. There's always going to be some fear. I saw something online about you should feel about 75% ready, because the other 25% is reasonable doubts, but you have to purge or forge through those doubts, because if you feel 100% ready, you're not thinking about it hard enough.
That's a good point. Well, thank you both so much for being here. This was wonderful. So nice to hear more about your story and about Charlie Bridget Hair. So thank you.
Thank you, Jenna.
Thanks, Jenna. We loved being on this with you.
Yeah,
this
is super fun.
I hope you enjoyed the episode with Bridget and Carrie. If you're near Morristown, New Jersey, I highly recommend Charlie Bridget Hair. Thanks for listening.